today we're going to continue the discussion from the past 2 weeks about Yichus. It's Parshas HaShavua, or it was Parshas HaShavua, Vayinatzu b'machaneh, b'nai Yisraelis, v'yishai Yisraeli. What was the Nitzayon, what was the fight about? According to Rashi, it was a fight about whether it was permissible or ideal for Shiva Don to have someone in camp in their midst who was the son of a Ishmitzvi. Question of identity being formed by all the components of a neighborhood. And so if there's somebody in the neighborhood whose identity symbolizes something slightly less than the identity of everybody else, to a certain extent, that compromises or lowers or dilutes the identity of the neighborhood. The Ramban quotes an opinion that says that they didn't have any mamzerim ba'isa shah, but that freed them to be sensitive to more subtle and minute distinctions in Yichus, and that's perhaps why they reacted so strongly to his request. Because when there's greater similarity, there's much more sensitivity to minute differences. Nowadays, of course, that type of thing, like, would make a difference? To a much lesser extent, certainly we're not mapping on neighborhoods the way that it was back then. Yishal, the globe, it was so, the Golem really represented something much more than any neighborhood represents nowadays. But today we're going to discuss all the ksubos on the daf related aspects of Yichus. So, just starting off, it's important to note, I think I noted this previously as well, that the Gemara uses the expression malin liyuchsin. What does yuchsin mean? You can go, if a person eats truma d'oraisa, so then you can assume that he's miyuchas. If a person does Nesias Kapayim, according to one Havamina of the Gemara, you can assume that he's Miyochas. If a person's eating Truma D'Rabbanan, according to the Havamina of the Gemara, you can assume that he's Miyochas. So what's a nafkamina of his being Miyochas? So Rabbi Natam says, Rashi says, that the nafkamina is that if a woman is makbid only to marry a Miyochas, so then she can assume that he's Miyochas. And if she's not makbid, then there's no nafkamina whatsoever. And almost make it sound like it's a matter of being spoiled. Some people are spoiled and they insist on marrying a miyuchas. So why is a Gemara spending dapim upon dapim discussing nafkamina? Like if a person is spoiled and like wants to marry somebody with a certain ancestry, through kavod, whatever it might be. So why is a Gemara spending dapim and dapim to explain it? So Rabbi Tam says, though, there's a second nafkamina as well, and that is for avoida. A person with miyuchas can do the avoida on the Beis HaMikdash. They can, if they're a Levi, they can sing Shira on the Duchan. If they're Yisrael, so then they're like Chachila, a pick for the Sanhedrin, and so there's nafkaminas for Avodah, for Shira, and for the Sanhedrin. And Rabbi Tam says that there were people who wanted to ensure that their family remained kosher, that just like their ancestors were Oyvdim al HaMizbeach, they wanted their descendants to be Oyvdim al HaMizbeach, Tachas HaMizbeach, Yuhi Ubanecha, Tashisimu, Lesarim, Bechala Aretz. And so that would explain why people were Makbid, meaning they were Makbid in order to enable their descendants to walk in the path of their ancestors and do the Avodah, sing the Shira, or sit on the Sanhedrin. The question is, why do we describe that as Yuchsin? We could have described it much more directly. We could have said for Avodah, for Shira, or for Sanhedrin. Tom says, yeah, but then we would have had to say three things. And Yuchsin is one term that encompasses all three. So that's what being Tom's solution. Why does the term encompass all three is something that we need to think about. It's a similar issue from the Rambam. The Rambam in Perchach and Hoch HaSisribiya, after talking about Asar Yochsin, he begins to talk about, well, when can we be Malem Yitruma Liyochsin, when can we be Malem Yitzias Kapayim Liyochsin, etc., Shtaris Liyochsin. And it's clear, it seems clear from the Rambam, and Magen Mishnah says this as well in one possibility, that the Nafkamina of Yochsin is Avodah Mizbeach, or Yeshiva B'Sanhedrin. And the question arises that, unlike the previous prakim in Hilchos Yisribia, which deal with questions of heter v'isser shal nisuin, over here the nafkamina is not heter v'isser shal nisuin. The nafkamina is avoida, shira, or din. So why is it in Hilchos Yisribia? Belongs in Hilchos avoida or in Hilchos dayanim, Hilchos sanhedrin. I think that the solution to both of those relates to what we were talking about in the previous weeks, that there's a different tzios of yochsin and there's a din of yochsin. Tzios of yochsin means having a certain identity, an identity identity which is molded by the conduct of one's ancestors, an identity which is molded by awareness of who one's ancestors were and how they conducted themselves. And anyone who's lacking either the ancestry or the awareness of the ancestry has a slightly different identity than the people who retained their awareness. Now, I understand that some people lose their awareness through no fault of their own. Lots of families, my own included, basically don't remember more than a couple of generations back. I know my father, my grandfather, my grandfather's father, his father, and beyond that, certainly on my father's side, we don't really know anything about the family at all. One Rebbe asked me, are you related to Maki Moshe, the commentary on Chumash from the Talmidim of the Rambam, I think? And I said, I don't know, because we lost all our family history in the war. So obviously that's not our fault that the family history got lost. But at the same time, it means that there is something that's lost, and we just don't know what went on in the past, and that's different than people who are able to maintain records of further back, of where their families go back to. So it's a slightly different yichus from mitzios. The identity is different. It's a different type of identity, and consequently it belongs in Hilchos Yisroipiyo, where the discussion of yichus in general appears in terms of different identities, and identities that are formed by awareness or lack of awareness of family histories of Yisroipiyo. So that's why it's in Yisroipiyo, because of the mitzios component. The din nafkaminas happen to be different than the din nafkaminas of earlier prophet, but it belongs in Hilchos Yisroipiyo because it's a mitzios which is formed by Vada Yisroipiyos or of Safik Yisroipiyos or of things of that nature, and that's what places it in Hilchos Yisroipiyo. That's one connection to Ksubos. Second connection to Ksubos relates to the topic of last week's Chabura. I think I mentioned this last week as well, the question of Kehani Yichus versus Kehani Chazaka. A classical way to frame the debate is what are the likely, what are the chances that this Kohen is a Kohen, a real Kohen? What are the chances that he's just a fake Kohen? Chazanish brings in, says, well, Asidim Chalalim Bihtahir Vasilago, and so therefore maybe as long as a person is identified by others as a Kohen or thinks of himself as a Kohen, that could possibly make a difference in terms of his actual status. Granted, the Chazon Ish only says that together with the fact that Medir Raisa, you can rely on Chazaka, and together with the fact that there's a Takan Derabbanan, but maybe they were never misapprehended in the situation where so much was lost as in our situation. But the fact that he mentions it to begin with is tremendously Mechudash, and he's willing to say that because a sidim chalal and bitar, that a person who's a mamzer or a chalal, or I guess at least a chalal, is going to have the status of a kohen gamur because he doesn't perceive of himself, it's not part of his identity at all. Even as part of a sniff lahakel, it's still a very big chiddush on the part of the Chazon Ish. That really begins in Ksubos with the braisa of Gedolah Chazaka, that Kehanim from the Hakoitz Barzilai family came to Nechemiah and they said, please let us eat from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Nechemiah said, no, Aramoy Kohen B'mir Metumim, you can only eat from Kodesh HaGvul. It's a true Midr Rabbanon, it's how we pass him. And so the question is, to what extent do we interpret Nechemiah's response as a precedent? So some Yishayim say he was just being Doichelem. The Dechiyah was because of the particulars of the situation, that over there all the other Kohanim had a Ksav Yichus, this family didn't have a Ksav Yichus, this family had a hyphenated last name, one half of the last name was a Kohen family, the other half of the last name was the Yisrael family. So were they Kohanim who married Yisraelios, or were they Yisraelim who married Kohanis? And it was a lot of unclarity, and they were missing their Ksav Yichus, and in Babel there was a lot of intermarriage. Okay, nowadays there's a lot of intermarriage also, but when people discussed this 200 or 300 years ago, there was a lot less intermarriage, and so they were able to say, but nowadays, after the Jews went back from Babel, so Ezra and Nechemiah, they took care of all the intermarriages, and they clarified all of the yuchsin, and then since then, we've been pretty consistent about these things, and so now, talking 200 years ago, they said, so nowadays, we don't have to worry about anything, it's only unique to their situation when there were so many intermarriages that they have to be concerned. But you have all these factors. The question about the status of Ehani Chazaka really is a Ksubais Chav Dalet Amud Beis question that all relates around how to interpret Nechemiah's response to the Hakotz Barzilai family of presumed Kehanim. The Gemara Ksubais Yod Gimel has a discussion that says a Kohen who doesn't know who his father is, it's not allowed to do that vote. So that means, let's say you have 10 Kohanim Yuchasim, right, and one of them is Pirish from the group and is Baal a woman. We don't know which Kohen it was. And then the child is for sure Kohen Yuchas, because no matter which of these 10 Kohanim was the Baal, the fact is they're all Kohanim Yuchasim. So the child is going to be a Kohen Yuchas. The woman's not a Chalala, she's not a Gusha, she's not a Zaina, she's totally fine, and so therefore that her child is going to be a Kohen Yuchas. So you would think that he could do a Baal on the Mizbeah. Gemara says, no, Pashas Takana Darabanan, that a Kayin has to be Makir, who his father is, in order to do the Avodah on the Mizbeach. So it tells you to a certain extent that a lack of clarity about who one's ancestry is and who one relates to, how one relates back to Aaron HaKohen, is clarity, and that matter is very critical for being able to do the Avodah. If a person lost that clarity, he doesn't know who the relatives are, so he's missing something that's necessary to do the Avodah. See that the Rav, when he was teaching the Ramos, so he would always do the family tree just by like thinking about his relatives. Okay, so you know that, you know, the Tsaras, you know, Achois, you know, Machzir Rishasa, like, oh, that's cousin, you know, whatever. So, you know, that's how he would do the Avodah. Everything would be in his family tree, and that's how he kept track of it. So there is a certain maila to being cognizant of all the members of one's family. And if a person can't point to a father, can't point to a person and say, he's my brother, he's my father, so they're missing something. It's a bigger chidosh that they're missing something which is necessary for the avodah. It's a different question about why it is that such an awareness is necessary for the avodah. But what's fascinating is that the Shikim Kubetza suggests that if his mother tells him that it was that man, because presumably the mother knows who it was, it's just that nobody else knows who it was. The father comes forward and says, this is my son, so then it could be that Midin Yakir, everyone has to believe the father. Let's say the father is not stepping forward, the mother steps forward. So it's also a question, does the mother have Nemanis or not? Let's say that she doesn't have Nemanis, and she tells the son, you know, this man is your father. So the Shikim Kubetza brings 2 days, one day that says that he's Kashu Lavoida. So it seems, to a certain extent, that the son's own, and again, it's not based on something which we would consider to be objective and or even acceptable evidence, but his own personal awareness or his own personal conviction that this man is his father and those people are his brothers, that already suffices to overcome whatever the chisaron is in terms of koyein she'inay miyuchas, she'in zara miyuchas achrav, in doing the avodah. So it seems to point towards, number one, a subjective element of identity, which is independent of what the public or the court can verify, and at least on the Durabana level, it says that this subjective element is due to a personal perception of how do I identify myself, even to the exclusion of the fact that others don't identify me the same certainty in the same way. The Gemara has a bunch of discussions, which I sort of mentioned by name earlier, about whether if a person signs his name, so-and-so the Kohen, on a shtar, and the Edim sign at the bottom of the shtar, so are the maybe the Edim are certifying this person's kahuna. If a person eats Truma Rabbanon, so is that already considered to be, to create a presumption that they're a Kohen Gam or a Kohen Miyochas? So if they're eating Chalad Rabbanon, Chalad Yeraisa, Truma Yeraisa, if we do Messias Kapayim, all of these are questions, whether you can presume that if a person did one of these six things, that they are Kohen Miyuchas, or whether doing any of these six things does not make a person a Kohen Miyuchas. And the Ka'amur, the Nafkamina, is Me'avoda, or if the person's a lady, the Nafkamina is for Shira al-Hadochan, if the person's a Yisrael, the Nafkamina is for Yeshiva B'Sanhedrin. So the Marashal, and I think the Magen Mishnah also, but I don't remember where the Magen Mishnah is, both point out that these are the only nafkaminas, meaning even if we say ein malin mitruma liyochsin, or ein malin minasiyas kampayim liyochsin, or ein malin mishtaros liyochsin, we don't mean to say that you you have to worry that the person's a mamzer if his name is Kohen in Ishtar. It doesn't mean to say that you can't let a person get the first aliyah in Kriyas HaTorah if it just says Kohen in Ishtar. If a person signed Kohen in Ishtar and the Edom sign underneath it, so then you certainly could give him the first aliyah to the Torah. The only nafkamina is for Avoda. Now, this marshal is a tremendous chiddush, because the way that the Gemara poses the question about Malin Mishtaros Yuchsin is, when the Edom sign on the Shtar, are they signing on just the Tochen, that moving borrowed money from Shimon, or are they also signing on the Shem Kohen, and they're verifying every single data point that's inside of the Shtar? So if you're going to tell me that Ein Malin Mishtaros Liuchsin, so that means that the Edom are not saying anything about the person's Kohen status. It's as if he's a self-declared Kohen. And yet, it seems that the Marshal and the Magid Mishnah are willing to accept that he's considered to be a Kohen for things, pretty much everything, short of Yuchsin. Trumid Rabbanan, how come? So the answer has to be that it's not an all or nothing question. It's obviously sometimes the Edom certify the kahuna, sometimes they don't certify the kahuna. What's the number, what's the percentage of shtaris where they're certifying the Shem Kohen, what's the percentage of shtaris nak? And then for each nafkimina, for each area of halacha, what is the threshold of percentages? So when we say, I think for the mashal at least, ein malin mi shtaros liyuchsin, what we mean to say is that the number of pairs of Edom who sign on the kahuna of the Malva and the Lova are below the threshold necessary to allow us to treat him like a kohen miyuchas for the purpose of avoda. But it's above the threshold necessary. The probability of the Edom having certified this person's kahuna is above the threshold necessary to certify him as a kohen for Trumat Rabbanan, or above the threshold necessary to certify him as a kohen for Kriyas HaTorah. So still turns out to be a matter of probabilities. I thought, check again in my notes, whether this thinking was correct or whether this thinking was incorrect, that this might have been indicative of something more, not just a matter of probability, but Yuchsin being defined, or the idea of Yuchsin being defined by the existence of Safik. You're giving him Truma Durabanan anyhow, so why is it insufficient for Yuchsin? Because a person who has a suffix in their ancestry, even if the suffix is a resolvable suffix, it might be already that such a person can't be considered miyuchas. But I don't remember whether that was a line of reasoning or not. It's a big question when it comes to malin mitruma miyuchsin. What's a shiloh? Yes, malin mitruma miyuchsin, and no malin mitruma. A lot of different opinions about what the Shiloh is. So probably the most famous opinion is the opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos says that it's a sociological question. There's a lot of Amoratsim in the world, and there are some Amoratsim even who sit on Bati Din, who are Dayanim. And we're worried that maybe if we allow a person to eat Truma with a low standard of evidence, which in theory is not something which is a problem. A person is a presumed Kohen, or Kohen al pi eid echad, so we should allow him to eat truma, because why not? But we're worried that one of these best bati din of Amoratsim are going to say, he ate truma, he must be Kohen miyuchas, and then they will let him do the avodah. And so, in order to save this Amoratsim shabestin from making such an error, we initially say, you've got to just have two Edom for Truma, and that way they won't be an error, because if they saw him eating Truma, it must be that he was eating Al-P2 Edom, and if he was Al-P2 Edom, so then that's sufficient evidence even for Avodah Tamei Zveich. So for Tosfos, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with being Mala the Truma Al-P Eid Echad, nor is there any deep conceptual connection between Truma and Yuchsin. It's all a matter of pragmatics and being concerned for Bati Din of Ami Haaretz. So that's the opinion of Tosfos. interesting opinion. Tosfos Yeshanim brings down, Tosfos Yeshanim says, well, it's really hard to get to Edom about a person's yichus, and it's really hard to get a court-certified document about a person's yichus. And so, in the middle of Subli's dimension of the past two chapters, talking about the shaila of Malin Truma Liyuchsin. What exactly is a shaila? Yes, Malin Truma Liyuchsin, not Malin Truma Liyuchsin. And we should make it clear that there's really two questions. One question is whether if you see someone eating Truma, form it as nefesh. If you see someone eating Truma, can you let him do the avodah? And the second question is, what are the standards to allow a person to eat Truma? Do you need two Edim? Same way that you need two Edim to let a person do the avodah, or is one aid sufficient? And those two are going to be taller than one another, meaning if you need two Edim for Truma, you can be malal yuchsin. If you can suffice with one aid for Truma, then you can't be malal Truma yuchsin. So Tosfos had a theory. Tosfos Yeshanim says, well, we wanted to have as many ways of proving a person's yichus as possible. So if we're more stringent for Truma, so then we'll have three different ways of proving that a person's yichus for that avodah instead of two. And because we wanted to increase the number of ways of proving such things, we instituted three.
Mikra din,
you would not need two. The Shmaitza says the opposite. The Shmaitza says what you're hinting at, which is Mikra din, you need two Edim for Truma because there's a Chesgas Isser, Chesgas Tevel, let's say, and in order to be matir somebody to eat the Truma, you need two Edim, and it's also very Chamer, there's an Avol Misa. And so once we independently needed two Edim for Achilas Truma, so obviously you can be Malami Truma Liyuchsin, because he was only allowed to eat Truma based on the testimony of two Edim. However, all of this is difficult in light of two things. Number one, the Gemara has a half amina that Nisius Kapayim, even if we're not Malami Mi Truma Liyuchsin, we are Malami Nisius Kapayim Liyuchsin. Person does Birkas Kohanim, you can let him do that avodah on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara explains, because Truma is Nechal Betzina. Nesias Kapayim is Nasa Beferhesia. There's different opinions about why Ferhesia is significant. Some say, well, he would never be such a Mechutzav as to do Birkas Kohanim, which is Beferhesia, and so therefore that gives him more Ne'emanos than Achilas Truma Betzina. And Eid Echad, but Nesias Kapayim, which is Beferhesia, that's already going to be sufficient to prove his kahuna, because no one would have the audacity to do the Nesias Kapayim unless they are genuine kohen. So it gives them greater nemanos.
What would be
an
issue, if any, of the
non-kohenim
doing
Nesias Kapayim? It's Tosfos Shabbos. I don't know if you're Gimel.
Does it
say have to say there's some sort of Israsei for Israel to be Ola Ledochan and do the Nesias Kapayim. Tyras and the Sias Kapayim.
Seems like the Truma would be, as far as Isser would go, would be hefty with Isser. So
yeah, the Gemara says that explicitly. It's about Misa versus Israsei.
Yeah.
But somehow Farhesia makes a difference. So again, Rash and Kaisers talk about the Nemanos in Farhesia, but the Ramban, I think, the Shikun Kubetzes allude to a slightly different pshat. And I think that the way that they understand it is that there's something that Yuchsin and Truma and Nesias Kapayim have in common. And that's not related per se to Avodah. It's related to Yichus. And Yichus is fashioning or manufacturing a public image, an identity. And if we are male a person to Yuchsin, it means that we give them a bracha and we give them permission to identify themselves, to craft a certain identity to the public, and we give that identity the stamp of officialdom. And it could be that to give a person, to say a person is miyuchas, or to let a person do birkas kohanim, which is mifarhesia, both of those constitute the fashioning of such a public identity, as opposed to giving a person permission to eat truma, which even though the sin is more chamor, but it's much more a private expression of identity. It doesn't impact on the public realm, and therefore the standards might be a little bit lower. That's why Nesias Kapayim might be more chamor than Achilas Truma. I think I found this, I haven't had to check up where I saw this again. I think it was the Shikun Kubetzes who talked about Malam Mishtaros Liyochsin in the same way. So the question is not purely whether the Edim who are signing on a shtar are signing on the Shem Kohen or whether they're only signing on the Halva. Part of the question is whether a Beis Din would permit a person to write their name with the last name Kohen on a shtar, or whether Beis Din would insist that this not be done. If Beis Din would exercise a certain measure of control over it, then obviously we would be able to be Ma'ala Mishar Saliyosin. If Beis Din wouldn't care and would let people do whatever they want, then we couldn't be Ma'ala Mishar Saliyosin. So what's the problem? Like, I understand for, you know, eating Truma, so you could say there's standards because there's a problem. Even for the Seis Kapayim, there's a potential Isser. But why would Beis Din exercise control over whether a person signs his name Kohen in a Shtar or not? It's say to me that they would do it in order to allow there to be more ways of getting Eidos, you know, about a person's Kahuna status. But maybe even more Pasha, that signing your name Kohen in a Shtar, right, is also a manner of crafting a public identity. And the main hakpada over here is that we don't want a person to manufacture a false identity for themselves. We want the identity that a person has to be true to who they are. They shouldn't craft themselves a false persona, especially when that's going to interfere with, you know, the identity of the Jewish nation or the Mishpachas Kahuna as a whole. And so therefore, anything which is more likely to be to be involved in crafting a false public identity will be subject to greater restrictions and to more supervision by the Bati Din. And those things which are less related to crafting such a public identity will be subject to fewer restrictions. That's what they have in common with Yochsin. And it could be that even Truma, which is a bit Tzina, but perhaps the fact that it's such a serious Avera, that also contributes to a certain public identity. Meaning, even though not everyone does it, but like if a person does it, it makes up for inequality, what it lacks in quantity. So if that's the case, then it would suggest a very similar idea. That it's true that a naftumina of Yochsin is the ability to do avoda, the ability to do shira al-duchan, or the ability to be yoshiv b'sanhedrin, but the primary hakpada on two edim is not so much for those three things as it is for preserving the identity of Klal Yisrael, preserving the identity of Mishnah Chasidut.